This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Once again, we welcome you and we're very excited to receive from you. Thank you so much for coming through from Swakop. Awesome.
Kiddies Church. You welcome me as if I flew in from South Africa, but it's just around the corner. Thank you, Johannes. I just want to say something I felt now during worship for you as a church, maybe specifically, but is that God wants to anoint your tongue, so with what you say will be from God. And will be prophetic. So I hope it. I didn't prepare to say that, but I realized now also my last scripture talked about that also. So I just want you to think about it. But God wants to anoint your tongue. I was just thinking that while we were worshiping, you know, we get in in contact with so many people during our normal week. And I find myself sometimes in places where I meet with people, and then I'm like urged to say something about God to them, but then I, at that moment, don't know what to say. Or somebody would open up and about the issues that they go through in life, and then you don't know what to say. And I believe God wants to anoint our tongues to so that we know what to say there and then. And there's a scripture that says, at those moments, the Holy Spirit will convict us of what to say. He will give us the words on what to say. And that's why I think it is very important. I also thought about that. Is that I hear you doing the Holy Spirit on Wednesday Foundation. So because the Holy Spirit, so I want to encourage all of you to go there. Like Johannes said, if you haven't been to the first one, go there. But the Holy Spirit is the one that anoints our tongues. Now that's not a spooky thing, but the Holy Spirit could, when you get in contact with somebody and he shares something, in our natural abilities, we don't know what to say in most of the cases. And sometimes people don't even open up to us. But the Holy Spirit can reveal things to us. And so I want to encourage you, and you'll see a little bit of that today as I preach. But come to encounter, because if we try in the natural to say things like I did, not only long ago, but still nowadays, you can mess up quite a bit if you just in the flesh speak. You can even think you're speaking godly things, but if it's out of time, out of sync, it just messes things up. Okay, are you with me? All right, so you heard a little bit about, you will see video clips this week, I think, or somewhere, the sound of the harvest. So it is, I listened to the clip of Pastor Heinrich. Is it okay if I keep my down jacket on? It's cold enough. I've got a nice shirt at the bottom, but I'm too cold to. So you'll have to deal with this green. but the sound of the harvest and what we're talking about or trusting God in this month is to, I would, in Theo's summary, to get our hearts back to that place where, why do, like who said it here? Why, Robert, why do we come to church? Why do we do what we do? And I would say it's twofold, I guess. The one is because we love God and He loves us and we enjoy that. But the other part is that, okay, fine. So, but what about the people that don't know Him? Do we have an urge in ourselves to, are we fine to, for that good message, the gospel, to stop inside these four walls, or are we not happy with that? And again, one can just reflect, and if you fast and pray, you know, the one thing that God does with a fast and prayer is it's not in a bad way, but He just shows you where your heart is at. And He gives you compassion, I believe. In the time of fasting, you just feel differently for people. Where am I going with all this stuff that I'm saying? God wants to get our heart back, and this time I want God to help us to get to the place where we look for the harvest, for the people that are out there. So this topic is broken into the sound of the lost sheep. That's what I'm going to talk a little bit about today. The sound of, and we're not going to be so strict on what people are preaching, etc., but of the shepherd looking for the sheep And then also the rejoicing of when somebody comes to salvation, when somebody actually meets Christ. That should be our, well, firstly, the joy of the Lord is our soul. No? What did I say? Is our strength. Yes. And our salvation, our knowledge of that I'm saved by Jesus Christ should be our strength. And then the joy that we get out of other people getting that, that's the stuff that should sustain us. Anyway, let me go on. So I don't normally talk about it. I try not to because the Bible tells me I shouldn't. But I did fast this week, not before I knew that there was going to be a fast. And it was just amazing that the scripture that I got when I fasted was Exodus 3, verse 11 to 19. So I read it, didn't really figure out what does this mean. And then I saw that the first scripture on this topic is Exodus 3, verse 7. So I read that, and now everything makes sense to me. So, but it's nice that when God speaks to us. So if you haven't fasted ever in your life, that's fine. I want to encourage you to start trying it, exploring it. Can I explain to you how I eased myself into fasting? At first I thought, maybe you've heard this, it's my joke. So I heard fasting is you just don't eat solids. So I thought, well, all kinds of drinks are fine. So I went to McDonald's and had lots of thick milkshakes. I don't know why the people were so hungry. I was quite fine. But then luckily, in grace, my friend told me, no, he doesn't think that's right. You should try and stay on water. Okay, so I eased myself into fasting. So you can also do that. But I want to encourage you to, you guys will speak about it, how it will happen, etc. But to maybe set aside one day, if you can't fast just on water, fast from something, fast from Facebook, fast from anything. But just get into a place where we fast, we set things apart. Because our lives are bombarded by so many voices, and we need to quiet those things so that we can hear from God. Okay, all right. So I'm going to talk about a lot of things, but the lost sheep, the lost out there. But not only that, also, what then? If we now know that people are lost, what do we do? So, I'm going to read from Exodus 3. So all of that was introduction. I have some of the scriptures on the I don't have all of them up there, I mean from Exodus, but I'll start from Exodus 3, and we're going to just break it down into a few sections, I would say. But before we start, I have to explain, and I also just had to do a little bit of research, but Exodus, if you hear the word Exodus, Exodus is about the Israelites exiting Egypt. So just before we start reading here, the history to this was that they, with Joseph was the second in command a while back, and then his father came over, and then God moved Joseph's family back to Egypt, and they were blessed there. They were blessed. They ruled and, I wouldn't say they ruled and reigned, but they were blessed. That's the end of Genesis. But here, where we get to Exodus 3, it's now they've been in Exodus, I don't know, I didn't check that out. But they've been there for a few years, maybe a few generations, but now things have changed where they were blessed. Now they were starting to, the Egyptians were starting to oppress them. And so this is the background of Exodus. So just think of it a bit. God actually took them there to bless them, but he wants to call them out from there because they were starting to be oppressed. Okay, I'll read Exodus 3, verse 1 to 6. It's not up there. You can just listen or read by yourself. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. So, something extraordinary happens. And, you know, I'm thinking about a lot of things nowadays, but my head is trying to wrap itself around what is going on in Namibia. That's one of the things I'm thinking about. Because something is going on. It's extraordinary to have such an economic drought plus a physical drought at the same time. I don't know if any of you experienced. We don't see rain here in any case. But I'm trying to wrap my head around, and I'm thinking and praying, and I think at the men's camp God showed us something and so on. But I believe Namibia is at and it seems like a lot of people in the world, not only Namibia, but we're here now, but is in at an extraordinary place. It's not normal. And I believe that this is almost like a place God had to get Moses in an extraordinary situation, had to make him stop so that he could speak to him. And I believe us as a nation, now this is not really what my topic sermon is about, but we as a nation are at a place like that, where God is saying, stop. And start asking the right questions, and start asking, where is God? What is going on here? And God is not going to, one day, yes, he will, to a degree, I think, hold the government accountable. But the pathway out of this nonsense, if I can call it that, is the burden of the church to a large degree. But anyway, my point with this is maybe you're in a place in your life where the circumstances are extraordinary, you feel oppressed, you feel that things are difficult, they're beyond normal, normally difficult, and that is sometimes okay. I don't want to say that the circumstances you find yourself in is all from God, but sometimes it is actually okay from God to bring us to a point where it can make us stop. And I see that within Namibians, and I'm again on my other tangent, we want to pray that God just lifts the burden again, and then if the burden is lifted, then we're happier again, and then we forget about him, and then the burden comes, and we pray for that burden to be lifted. And I think God is telling us, but is that the kind of people that we want to be? Is that the kind of nation we want to be? Or are we a nation that wants to call out and say, we love you, Jesus, and we want to follow you, and we don't want to be mediocre. We want to pursue the calling of our lives, the calling of this nation, or do you just want me to bless you a little bit so that you can continue in what you have? And I don't think that's what God wants for us. You know, one thing that I realized, okay, I'll get to the real scripture just now. While I was fasting, one gets hungry. So the one day I was feeling sad for myself. That, by the way, I didn't fast the whole week, okay? Those are for super Christians. It's not me. It's 1 week. It's really... it's heavy stuff. But I did fast for more than one day. But anyway, so I was feeling very hungry there, standing outside my garage. And then, I don't know, somehow it came over me, because sometimes the poor boomalars walk past the house. Then I thought, these people feel like this constantly. And I just, somehow I could connect with it's called empathy. Somehow I could feel, maybe like they feel. But not for a day that I chose to fast. And I know the food's in the house. So if I really die, I can just run in there and eat it. They don't know where to run to. And they feel like that constantly. And that's where God wants to get our hearts, where the oppression, and now we speaking, me, Theo, personally, I'm not saying I'm wealthy, but if you have to look at the country, then I guess I'm wealthy. I guess all of us here are wealthy. And we moan about, we didn't get the big bonus, and we can't buy the new car. We just have an old car. And that's fine. I also just want to say, God is in all of that. We can talk to him about our needs and even sometimes what we want. I'm not against that. But we just have to realize that if we have to have a, I like my mathematics. If you have a pie chart of, let's say, all the needs in Namibia, mine is like such a minute little sliver in that pie chart. And God is concerned about it. He loves me. He wants to talk to me about it. But sometimes he wants to get my eyes, spiritual eyes, to open to see what the rest of the pie chart looks like. What is the rest of the need in this country? The people with money that have a little bit less now, yes, we're a bit stressed. But do we know that there were people that were oppressed, poor, even in the economic good situation? How do they feel now? They've got less than less. And God wants our hearts to just connect with him. And not that he wants to take our stuff away so that we can feel how they feel, but he just wants us to connect with him. He just wants us to understand. Okay, that's the first scripture. Exodus 3, verse 7. It should be up there. Verse 7 to 9. Is it there? It will be there soon. Then the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I've also seen oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Do we see the affliction, the oppression that people around us are going through? Is it only physical oppression, affliction? No, sometimes it's spiritual or mental oppression. There is so many people with lots of money around us that go through horrendous emotional trouble. They want relationships in marriages that want to fall apart, want to break apart. And we're in the midst of that. And God, I believe, is telling us, he's saying, I want to use you to see it. And then I want to use you to fix it. He wants us to see the stuff that's going around us. Are you with me? God wants us, just another thing that I thought about now. You know, my mother-in-law got a farm. My father-in-law passed away, but you know, about 5 years ago, I guess, we went there. I don't know why I'm sharing this now, but so we went there to the Bokke Kraal, met die paar skaap en die bokke. And it was amazing. So my father-in-law was a doctor, and so the bokkie wachter, the sheep shepherd, I could say, said there's something wrong with one of these goats or sheep. I can't remember what it was. And I'm like, okay, so how are you going to get them here? How are you going to get that one in all of these sheep? I don't know if you've seen two sheep next to each other. To me, they look pretty much the same. Nee? A karakul skaap, and nog een. Because these were not the Nguni cows where you can maybe identify them with the patterns. They all look the same to me. So he's like, wait, I'll get it. The shepherd, I'll get him. And I'm like, what? How are you going to get it? And he walks. There it is. And he figures out which sheep it is because he knows them. He knows them. I'm like, what? Okay, they're a bit different size, but he, out of all of those sheep that look the same, all of those goats, he figures out, he says, it's that one. I saw him. He knows them. I want to say maybe to you here this morning, somebody said it, yeah. You're not just a number. People look different. We look a lot different. But you're not just somebody. God knows what you're going through. He pushes on your number. He goes there and he says, I know about this. But in the same way, God wants us to have the spiritual eyes to walk into situations with the Holy Spirit, not our own. And we see when you walk into a situation and you know this person is going through something, the Holy Spirit puts something on your heart and says, they're struggling with that. Pray for them. Say this to them. That's why I said, I believe God wants to anoint our tongues. Say that to them. Specific. Because he knows. And God is not going to wait for angels to do it, or a few pastors, or whatever. He's waiting for people to do it. Do we see the affliction of people around us? Do we have compassion for it? God wants our hearts to resonate with His heart. You know, like I said, the pie chart, it's fine that Theo has got this much needs, and every now and then I must pray for it, and God will hear me in those things. I'm convinced, because He's a Father. He's good. But He wants my heart to also resonate with the other amount of pain that He resonates with. So when He talks about it, the downtrodden and the poor in this country, He wants my heart to start going, yes, 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 I'm hearing what you're saying. Resonate. Does our hearts resonate with the heart of God when He speaks about certain things? And yesterday we were just there in the cold. Isn't it cold the last few weeks? Or this week at least? Man, I need some sunshine. I'm going to go after this and drive up there in the Swakop River until I see sun with my kids. But we were just sitting there and talking, I don't know, about schools, etc. And what I'm trying to say now is that we sometimes so narrow-minded as to where God can use us. And that's why I really love this men's camp and the approach that Anton had at the men's camp. But God, it's not... So if you're sitting here and, oh, God can only use people that preach every now and then or a cell group leader. No. God wants to use you in every possible way. Sometimes He wouldn't even want you to necessarily speak or preach the gospel so much. But there's so much need. There's so much need. Some people must just become principals of schools. That's what we were talking about yesterday or this week. Some of the government schools are in such horrendous shape that if some... buddy principal can just get saved there and realize this is my ministry, this church. Then, we, you know, we just need to broaden our horizons a bit of where can God use us. I liked what that first passage of scripture in Exodus, what we just read. Moses, and God said, you are standing on holy ground. I want to tell you that where you are, where you're working, what you're doing right now is holy ground. Does it make sense? But it's a place where God wants to use you. We must stop thinking that God wants to take us out to somewhere else and do something else with us. Maybe, yes. If we hear God and we're obedient to what He wants us to do, He'll systematically get us to a place like that. But for now, He wants you to be where you are and He wants you to be prophetically relevant in that office that you don't maybe like. Are you with me? Because He wants you to speak to people. Maybe you speak to one person a month or 10 a day, like some doctors do. How many a day? But anyway, God wants to use you. Are you with me? Stop saying that I'm not at the right place. In any case, if you're not at the right place, do you think most of it, is God going to give you a new job tomorrow? Maybe if you're at the wrong place. I don't know if I'm saying the right stuff now. But you just need to get to the right place systematically. But it starts with small steps of obedience. Small steps of obedience. God wants to use you, people. Amen. Matthew 9, 36 to 38 from the Message Bible. We're talking about the heart for the lost. Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages, and He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies, healed their bruised and hurt lives. When He looked over the crowds, His heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest, He said to His disciples. How few workers. On your knees and pray for the harvest. Hands. So, this few scriptures here, I just think, gives us a good picture of how God's heart is. When He looks at people, He says, wow, so aimless. And I want you to walk like that through wherever you walk in life. When you encounter people, there's so many people that, wow, man, they're clueless. And I'm not saying that in a derogatory term, but they have no hope unless I give them some hope. You know, I sometimes think about, we as Christians go through the same hardships in life. There's very few that skips us. But is that right what I said? I think it's right. But we go through them with a God that cares. I went through close family that died. You know, you name it. I've gone through a lot of things. I'm not professing that I've gone through everything possible. But the difference between me and somebody else is I have a God that doesn't speak in those dips in my life. He doesn't stop speaking, man. He speaks. He gives me comfort. And so many people go through horrendous stuff in life, and they've got nothing. And this is what Jesus, I think, saw this. Like, what? We need to help these people. What a huge harvest. Some of us can just pray. You know, we've got to, I think it's a waste, it's a very bad habit in our culture. I'll just stop there. When we say, oh yeah, I heard my uncle is going through a tough time financially, or I heard this person is sick, yeah, I'll pray for you. How many times do we actually pray for that? If you're like me, and I'm going to try and stop this, you say yes, but you never pray for it. It's a bad habit. A good habit is actually because we think, yeah, is it really that necessary? Is it going to make a difference? No, man, it's going to make a difference. If you said you're going to pray for somebody, and that's what it says at the end, on your knees and pray for the harvest. Sometimes we can just pray. We must pray earnestly. How does our intercessions look like? Not pointing fingers. The fingers are pointing at you. How does our intercessions look like? What do we pray for? Do we pray for our list of things as a church? We want this and we want that. Or is it every now and then focused? Lord, let's just pray for the lost. Let's just pray for everybody that we come in contact with. We pray that God anoints us with the Holy Spirit so that when they get in contact with somebody's going to get saved this week. And I'm talking about really saved. I'm not talking about moving from one church to our church because our coffee is nice or something like that. And your coffee is nice. That's fine. You can draw them like that. But trust God for authentic salvations. Now I'm again on another tangent. But we see a lot of it. You know, I don't want to talk about myself again. But let's just trust God that we don't get... No, let me just think a little bit what I say. It's fine. Everybody must come to our churches. But we want people to encourage Jesus Christ and come to salvation where we can see their lives change. Because that is what Jesus Christ does. We don't want a lukewarm church because it's mixed with some people that I'm here with God and I do what... Where people's lives are controlled by Jesus Christ. We want that. We want it where people are on fire for God. Where people come and when we see, oh, I invited somebody and he's here. We're like interceding, God, meet him. Not just that he feels a few goosebumps in church, but that his life changes. That his walk in life, that's what repentance means. I walk this way and I realize it's wrong and I turn. We need those things. We need to pray for that. We need to pray that God does that in our churches, that we don't have just experiences with God, but salvations, born again salvations. Are you with me? Does it make sense? Amen. Excited. Hey. Okay, let me go on. So, the lost, let's pray for them. Let's ask God to get our hearts, make our hearts soft. If your heart is not soft, welcome to the club. Pray and fast a little bit. Fast. Say, God, help me to see, because God changes us. That's what fasting is so powerful. It just gets rid of all the natural abilities that you have, and you're at a place where you're like almost a... You're just vulnerable, and God can work with you. Please, fast every now and then in your life. Get yourself into that. Get yourself into that. There was a time in my life as a Christian where I didn't fast. I'm not saying I'm fasting a lot, but I'm just at the place where I like fasting. Can you believe it? I like fasting. Now, I don't do it, still don't do it like every week, but it's just good, people. It's good to connect our hearts with God. Is it okay to say that? Yes. All right, Exodus. So now we've spoken about the lost. Exodus 3:13. So what now? So God says, the lost. I want, they're oppressed. I want them to... So who's going to do it? Then Moses said to God... Oh, sorry, before we get that. If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, I'm in verse 30 now, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. So Moses is a bit overwhelmed. That's fine. And he asks, God, what must I tell them? Who sent me? And he says, I am. Tell them I am. Now that word I am, let me just get my ducks in a row. I can't pronounce this. There's some of it on the next slide. The definition of that word I am, it's EJ or Jehovah. But it is, that I'll have to start with the last bullet there. The word, so when God sent Moses, said, tell them I am, we don't sometimes understand what that means, and it is quite complex. I'm not saying I understand all of it, I understand some of it. But what he was saying is that the last bullet is, I am, my constancy, and faithfulness in fulfilling the promises, for it includes all time, past, present, and future. So, and that's why he also says, I'm the God of Abram, Isaac, and of Jacob. What God is saying there is that I am constant. My promises that I gave you 10 years ago, that seems like they faded, they're the same. There's a constancy about me that I want you to take to the people because they're going to be overwhelmed. How are we going to get out of here? How's it going to work? And then you must tell them the God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. Can you remember how you got here in the first time? Did I promise you this? Did I fulfill my promise? Don't look. Don't be narrow-minded and just be overwhelmed by the situation at the moment. I am has sent you. I know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's like father and children. Why shouldn't you touch a stove when you try and tell it to a two-year-old kid? It's too difficult to explain, but it's just, don't do it. I know it's bad for you. But it brings an encouragement, and it boosts and encourages their faith. It reassures Moses. It encourages him and strengthens the faith of the Israelites. So what I'm trying to say to you this morning is that this message of God wants to reach the lost, when he sends you, he sends it with his backing. He sends it with his reassurance and affirmation. And for many of us that maybe sit here, you've been Christian for a while, God promised you things 10 years ago or 5 years ago, and life has happened in the meanwhile. And you think God forgot about that. God says, I am. When I made that promise, I didn't take it away. It's the same today. Maybe you must revive it a little bit. Maybe you must pray over it a little bit. But I didn't change, God. I didn't change. That's not a word of rebuke. It's a word of affirmation that God brings. Sorry, and what I wanted to say there is, then Moses, verse 13, then Moses said to God, I come to you. Verse 16. Yeah, my scripture is a bit, what's the next scripture there? Not after that? No, go to the next one, verse 16. Yes. So God is sending you with his backing. And then verse 16, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I've observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt. And I promise that I will bring you out of the affliction of the Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, etc., and a land flowing with milk and honey. But verse 16 there in the first says, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them. God is speaking to Moses, but he doesn't stop there. God tells us something, and I want to tell you that the breakthrough or let's call it the breakthrough in your life will never come with just hearing what God says. It will always come with, okay, go, do this. Hearing and then action. And God tells Moses, you go and say to them. And what I feel with this scripture is that God is saying to us, well, it obviously means all of us, but he's saying that, okay, who's it going to do this work now? Is it going to be the pastor or the leader or Yaku or whatever? No, he's saying this message, this is for everyone, where God says, now you go and say. You go and declare. And what I want to stop here on a little bit is part of it through this month of August is also just to go back to what does Shofar Church stand for? Not that we are special, but all churches are special. But there's a specific mandate, I want to say, on Shofar Church, and that is to be prophetically relevant, to speak prophetically, to live prophetically. And so when it says that God, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, there's lots of things that God wants to use you to say and to speak. Sometimes it will be prophetic words, sometimes it will just be speaking to somebody, but God has called Shofar to be a prophetic church. Your life, if you're in this church, you're not by mistake here, you should be in this church, but this church mandate is to be prophetic, to speak prophetically. So for instance, when we see things in life, that's what it always did in the Bible, the prophets always saw things a little bit before the others saw it. That's nothing that was special. But I'm telling you, there's an anointing on us, and I use Namibia again, for us to look at things and to say and to start speaking prophetically and acting prophetically. But this whole passage is, it's not fine to just hear and then feel the oppression of the people. Oh, we're feeling. Yes, what now? Then it should be followed by action. And I believe with us specifically, it is speaking prophetically into people's lives, speaking prophetically into not just people's, but into, let's say, the bigger things in this country, the governmental things and the direction that this country is going into. And do you think is this going over your head, or you think it's not for you? I'm telling you, it's for you. I'm telling you, if you get the Holy Spirit inside of you and you start having a relationship with God and the Holy Spirit, we are going to start living prophetically. And that's where I wanted to have Luke 12, which is a bit confused up there. When you are brought before the synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how to defend yourselves or what to say. For at that time, the Holy Spirit will teach you what you should say. Proverbs 18, verse 21. It's my last scripture, and then I want us to pray. Words kill. It's from a message. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. But God sent out Moses. He first wanted, he explained to him, the reason I'm calling you Moses is for the oppression, the affliction, the lost sheep. So I'm summarizing my sermon now. It is, God wants us to see the oppression that is around us. God sees our oppression. God sees your oppression this morning. God sees your affliction this morning. But then he uses ordinary people like you and me that are probably in some affliction ourselves. And he says, now you go and say to them. You go and speak to them. You go and move them. And for us as people in Shofar, he wants us to start being prophetic. He wants us to start shaping. Maybe I look back to this. Well, I'll just look back at ourselves in 20 years. But I want to tell you that we need to start thinking bigger. That's it's a cliche. But I really believe that God wants us to engage him. And he will start talking to us. And he wants us to use us mightily to change things. If you find yourself in a situation at work, maybe it feels like bit stale, bit brood. It's not so lekker, it's not so nice. I want to encourage you this morning. That's not where God wants to keep you. God wants to get you out of that. I want to encourage you this morning. Find somebody, pray with somebody, fast. Pray that God gets you out of that. But you are called to be a prophetic voice. You are called to change things around you to a different degree. Yes, some will plant churches and some will do this, but all of us are called to change things. And maybe that's where, when the pressure is on humans, what do we tend to do? We tend to wither. But I believe for Christians, it's not time to wither now. And I'm talking to myself, which and you can ask me and Robert. I mean, in our line of work, it's like bad news, man, in the building industry. But it's the, and I guess we can talk about it and we go through it. But is that it? Or is does God want to tell me something different? Does He actually want to use me, put me into action so that I can help change this prophetically? Speaking to this, maybe not in actions right now, but just praying. I believe God wants us to do that. But He wants us to push through it in prayer and in fasting for the souls of this nation to come to God. God's heart is a Father's heart. He does not want Namibia to be in this state that it is at the moment. But I tell you, He'll keep us in that state. I don't know. I think He'll keep us in that state. But He wants us, our hearts, to be drawn to Him, to be connected to Him, Namibia. You know what, when, forgot his name now, last year, that guy from Malawi, Michael Howard, he came here, that guy's serious. And he did some research before he came, and he said, you know that Namibia has never had a revival. There's a lot of countries that can say, yes, we've had revival. Namibia has just been this, don't know what to call it. But if I can be rude and harsh, no, not rude, just honest. Namibia needs a bit of a wake-up call when it comes to serving God. But God loves us, and He wants to use this nation. Amen. I want to close off in prayer. No, let's do this. Well, I'll close off in prayer, but then we can pray in groups. But I just want to make an opportunity. Let's just close our eyes. Father, we thank You for this morning. Father, You're speaking to us about the lost. You're speaking to us about the backing that You give us when You send us out. But You're definitely speaking to us about going out and pursuing You and praying, fasting, seeking Your face. You're talking to us about it can't be done by others. It must be done by us. And Father, this morning we just take on that mandate. Some of us, we do it reluctantly. We do it being a bit afraid. Father, but I pray that You will just, as You say in Your word, that perfect love casts out all fear. Father, just pray that we will surrender everything in our lives to You, Lord God. Just give it over and be vessels that can be moved by You left or right at any moment, at any given time. Father, I pray that You will just bless people here this morning, and maybe you find yourself in a hard spot in life. I pray for encouragement right now, Lord God. I pray that You will just in the hearts touch them and show them that You see that issue. It's not alone. They're not alone. You go through that with them, Lord God. But Father, I pray for in the same way, and this is the only You that can do this, because the world will tell us that when we feel like that, we can't do anything, we can't stand up. But I pray in that situation, in this extraordinary situation, You'll speak to people this morning in Jesus' name, Lord God, and just give them a way out. Give them hope and give them reassurance that You're with them in Jesus' name. Father, and I pray for an encouragement that comes from the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for this week's Wednesday or whatever days, teaching on the Holy Spirit, that the people will just open up so that the Holy Spirit can start influencing our lives and just infiltrate and pour out of us.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.